Welcome to the FN Football Podcast, a show where two newbies talk football, females, feminism, and other F words.
So, welcome to the FN Football Podcast. It's 2021. Emmy, how's life in 2021? Did you wait there? Didn't you just get back from Dubai?
Oh, yes. Had a great time in Dubai on the party boat. Did you see my Instagram pictures?
Yep, saw them all over Instagram. And you put them down rather quickly, though.
Oh, I'll talk about a bit more about that later.
Okay, because I'm sure you're in tier four. But anyway,
Business trip, Amelia.
Still don't think you're allowed to go. But anyway, Amy, what are we going to talk about this episode?
So this episode, we've got quite a lot to talk about, actually, haven't we? Because, yeah, we talk about the Dubai and that debacle. And we're also going to be talking about
Karen Carney, because she suspended her Twitter account. So we're going to look into what happened there.
Yeah, happened to Kazza. I'm also going to be talking a bit about Megan Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe has been in the news quite a bit lately, especially with some of the news that's been hit in America. And let's have a chat about the WSL, because I've got some things to talk about Frank Kirby.
Yeah, sounds good.
Next month, it's all about LGBT plus history. Gosh, we stumble around that, don't you? I feel like we need a better word.
Yeah, so Emmy's going to give us some milestones before next month, just to get us a warm-up into LGBTQ plus.
Yeah, it's so hard to say. So that reminds me, my mum's really sweet. She joined this LGBTQA support group, like basically like a pride group at work, obviously as an ally. And she was telling me that she was joining it, but she was getting all the words mixed up, like the letters, like the LGBT. And she, I think she kind of basically told me that she joined the BLT group.
Amazing.
I said, no, it's not called the BLT group. I said, bacon, lettuce and tomato sandwich. I think you mean LGBT.
She's like, what? I thought I was getting a free
sandwich. Yeah. BLT, yes, please.
Guess what I tried on the weekend? Cauliflower, hash brown.
Did you make it?
No. Pack it. But on the freezer section, because I just really wanted to, like, you know, like, I wanted to be made like a fry up, basically. And then it was like a plant-based one. But yeah, we got the cauliflower one. It was really nice. Really recommend it.
Was it the highlight of your week?
Do you know what food is my highlight of my week? Yeah. I'm not going to lie. And I bought myself some really nice chocolates from like a chocolate shop. And oh, I have like two chocolates a day. And
oh, what a treat.
No, but they are. But they're so good. You don't want any more. I can't explain it.
It's what's like, the chocolate shop? Which one is it?
Oh, can't say.
Can't say. We're not advertisements on this podcast, thank you. You can pay us for that. Hotel Chocolat. I'm with you. Let me say, I started a one line a day, like 5-year diary. So you write like one,
okay,
like,
a one line.
You write like a little paragraph about your day.
Oh, that's cute.
But you do it for like the next 5 years. So you look back on like the year, like next year, this time next year, I can look at what I did on this day, on this very day. And it probably
Wait a sec. So you write one tiny paragraph
every day for 5 years.
That's like keeping a diary.
Yeah, no, it is a diary. It's a one line a day diary.
So why are we getting excited though? Because you're going to look back in 5 years' time. Because don't you do that with a diary?
Yeah, but it's all on the same page. So like the first page would be like 1st of January, and the next paragraph down it would be like next year. So you'll see like 5 years on one page at the end of it.
Are you actually keeping up? I know it's only been 90. Well. It's guys, we'll show you something. It's been 19 days since 2021. Have you kept up with it?
That's what day we're recording this episode on. I will keep up with it.
Can't wait to be featured.
Yeah, I'll read it. Oh, perhaps next year when we do the podcast, I can be like, Amelia, on this day, we did our episode about this. And it's quite, and it'd be interesting for like 5 seconds and then you'll move on with your life. But what I wanted to talk about was at the moment, I'm feeling in this diary every day. But my days are so monotonous and so similar to one another. It's normally like, ate this and watched this. So I think yesterday was ate soup and watched Bridgerton.
Oh.
But at least today I can be like, did a podcast.
Yes, ate, this is like
ate cottage pie and watch Bridgerton and did a podcast. Also, don't watch Bridgerton. Like, I am enjoying it, but it's also rubbish. But it's also enjoyable. But it's also...
It doesn't do it.
Don't bother. I need
what you should watch.
Go on then.
What you should watch is Little Fires Everywhere on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Little Fires. I think that's based on a book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is based on a book. I've not seen the book, so no spoilers. I'm only on episode 5.
Anyway, we have gone way off track.
Sorry, guys. Okay, yeah, bring it back to football.
Football.
So, yeah.
But to be fair, there hasn't been much football on because of Dubai Gate.
Yeah. Emmy took them all on holiday, didn't she?
Come on, girls, blame Emmy. Let's go. So I didn't really go to Dubai. Not that silly.
That's because she was in tier 4, guys, and she knows the rules.
I am in tier 4. Yeah, I'm in the worst affected area in the country. So, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. But some people did go to Dubai. And for the three listeners out there who don't know anything about this, we're going to tell you about this scandal that happened on social media with some players. Amelia?
Yep. So, from what I know, there was a few players from Arsenal, Man City and Man United who decided to go to Dubai. Oh, wait up. Amelia wants to say something.
I've heard some rumours that there's actually more players than the three teams you've mentioned. Uh-huh.
What?
Having a bit of conversation on Twitter about it. A few other team names have been dropped, but I don't want to go into... The thing is, the press have been really hush-hush about it. They haven't really said it in any of the news articles, but yeah, there's been a few other teams mentioned, but I don't want to get in trouble, so I won't mention it, but carry on with it.
Okay, so... Basically, a lot of people went to Dubai.
Yes.
Everyone in women's football got the invite. We did.
I know, geez. I mean, I wouldn't have gone anywhere, of course, but it'd be nice to be invited.
But as a consequence of them going to Dubai, some of the players got COVID, brought it back to their clubs. People then had to self-isolate, and therefore a lot of the games got postponed.
Yeah. So we were really looking forward to the first weekend of the WSL, and then only one game happened.
One game.
Great.
So well done, Reading and Chelsea.
So a lot of people were angry about this on social media, which rightly so, because A, it's like messed up the WSL. Like a lot of games didn't get to play. Journalists were going to go and like write about the games have kind of lost money. Fans looking forward to the games. Like probably a lot of enjoyment comes from these games, especially at this time. Won't have that. And I think a lot of people just felt a bit cheated that, you know, we're all having to make sacrifices. So why are these players going off to Dubai when we know we shouldn't be traveling? We shouldn't be doing anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that whole thing about feeling cheated, like I was thinking this the other day, like these players, they're quite privileged because they haven't lost their jobs. They're not on furlough. They get to go to work every day. They get to interact with people every day and they get to play sports every day, which a lot of people can't even do sports with their friends at the moment.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people might be angry with that as well. It's like, why would you're given this opportunity to do what you love, like you can go to work, why would you put the risk of going to Dubai and then having a domino effect on not just them, but their teammates, not just their teammates, then it goes to the teams that they're going to play against. And then it goes to us, the fans.
Yep.
And at this time, like you just said, like watching football is something that us people in our homes is something to look forward to. And because of that poor judgment they've made, I don't want to blame it on them, but you are lucky enough to still play and work. And your job is kind of, I suppose, providing entertainment to the public at this time. Mm. So that's their responsibility. And they've kind of shown a bit of lack of respect, potentially.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think like on the other side, you could say, oh, maybe they deserved a holiday. But I think we all deserve a holiday.
Yes.
But yeah, I think the thing is, so the reason why they got to go to Dubai is because they went on a business trip.
I mean, what were they doing over there?
Well, we did see a photo on social media where they're on a party boat. I really want to know what this business trip is because I don't think it's got any legs on it. Because yeah, what is it? I think that was perhaps there was something. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know. They haven't said. And their clubs let them do it. So I think there's some responsibility with the clubs, but yeah, I agree with you, like they're in a pretty privileged position. I just don't think they checked that privilege at that time.
Do you think also because like in the past, like, you know, the popularity of women's football has gotten so big over the last 2 years. Do you think in the past they've kind of gone under the radar? So this is like the first time they've kind of been like, you know, scrutinized for doing something. Like,
So
it's a positive because they've been given the attention that they need, but because they get this new attention, they need to know now, they need to take a bit of responsibility on and realize my actions are going to have consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fans are following me. People who look up to me as role models are following me. I need to set a good example. And they do. Like, I don't think footballers just play football. They are role models as well. Like, I think that, for me, that goes in with the job. If you're going to be a footballer and you're on social media and you're meeting fans, fans are the reason why you're there. If there was no fans, you wouldn't be there. So for me, I think that goes part and parcel with that. I think you need to be a good role model. And I think a lot of people were just like disappointed and like frustrated with the players for going off and doing that.
I think they've definitely learned some lessons from this.
I also think as well, because we're all in like lockdown and there's like nothing else much going on, like it did kind of really spiral on social media, and perhaps something equivalent happened. It's hard to say, like, think of another example, but had it happened at like normal times, it wouldn't have created such a buzz.
Another thing that I thought was interesting that came from this when I was looking at it was like inequalities between the women's game and the men's game, because they were saying like what some of these girls who were coming back from Dubai who potentially got tested positive, they are living in house shares with other football players. So when they have to self-isolate, the rest of the house has to self-isolate. Now, men, they don't have to do house shares with their players because they've got mansions. So if one of them went on holiday, came back, oh no, I've got COVID, they can self-isolate on their own. And it may not have an effect on the club that much. Like, because of COVID, it's kind of just highlighted some inequalities again.
Another thing I wanted to mention today in the podcast was that the FA released their next four-year strategy. I think they did a couple of days ago. And, you know, me, love a bit of comms professional myself. So I was like looking at all the videos and the slides and the design. It was quite nice. Yeah, very good, very good. Good work, comms team. But what I wanted to mainly highlight was the commitment for the next 4 years is that the FA should be for all, and that they're really focusing on improving football for girls, for women, and also inclusion in football. And that's like really laid out in their strategy. And I was just having a read through it. And they had some like really interesting stats at the moment. And the stats just show how unfair it is at the moment between girls and boys, women and men. So here we go. In total, there are 27,451 referees. How many of them do you think are female?
So it's 15.
27,500.
Yeah, 15.
You think 15? Okay, no, it's actually a bit better than that, but not by a huge amount. It's actually 1,718. So that's 27,500 referees, 1,700 of them are female. That's
wow. Kind
of, yeah, so that's quite a big difference. Out of people playing football, there's 14 million players playing football. What percentage or what number of that do you think are women?
Okay, 14 million. Well, I'm going to say 5 million.
Well, no. 3.4 million.
Out of how many again?
14 million.
14.
Yeah. So it's quite a bit
different.
It
just shows you, doesn't it?
Yeah. And this one, this is other stat I quite like to look off. So, you know, we've talked a bit on the podcast about how we didn't really have much opportunity to play football at school when we were younger, apart from like on the boys team until you got kicked off the boys team. So this stat, and I think like the key to all this is like really working on children and getting children involved and making sure they have the opportunities. That's why it's so annoying when we hear stuff like boys can be elite and play football and girls can't. But yeah, so this stat I think is quite interesting. So out of all the schools offering football, what percentage are offering football to girls as extracurricular activity, like a club, I guess?
Like outside?
Yeah, like an after-school club.
I'm going to say 30%.
That's very close, 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually better than I thought. But is that a good reflection?
No. It should be 100. It should be 100%. They should all these schools offering football should be offering.
I don't know. Why is football not a sport that's part of PE for girls?
I don't know. Yeah. Because it was banned for 50 years and it's considered a man's game and not a women's game. So why would they? Yeah. And we're still reeling from all that.
I don't know why in PE it has to be, you know, girls do this, boys do that. I don't understand why they can't do the same things.
Yeah. I don't know. But like, I hope it's better now. Like, we never did football in school for the girls. But yeah, like, surely it must, like, yeah, well, 40%, and it must be better, like, especially seeing, you know, like the England Lionesses and like the WSL and having more attention on women's football. That's all helping, isn't it? I'm sure.
No, exactly.
So, yeah, so that was quite interesting. So the FA put their strategy up. So I did a couple of tweets about it, actually. So go check that out. The one today I put up was a nice little video. And the FA said, football for women and girls has grown tremendously in the last few years, but there's so much more to do. It's our ambition that by 2024, every girl has the same chance as every boy to play football, both at school and in a local club.
That's a big thing to say.
It's a big aim, yeah. So all the same in 4 years' time, they've got a lot of work to do. Well, 3 years' time, it's 2021 now. So, yeah. So here's hoping.
Well, maybe in 4 years' time, we'll have more listeners.
Yeah. I hope so.
No, thanks, Amy, for that. That's really interesting. It's good to keep up to date what the FA are doing for women's football. Chelsea at the top of the league of the WSL after beating Man U this January.
Like really loving Chelsea at the moment.
Are you in love with them?
No, not in love. That's a strong word, isn't it? I said love. I mean, I love, but I'm not in love.
No, I do. Chelsea are pretty amazing.
So their first game of the year, they played Reading and they smashed it 5-0. Four of those goals from Fran Kirby. Really great to see her like shine. And then in the last game they played Man United, Fran Kirby, another goal. It was like goal from Lauren James, Man United. 5 minutes later, Fran Kirby's like, nah, not having that.
No, but Lauren James, she came on that pitch and like within 2 minutes she scored that goal. Mm. And I don't know if you saw that. I think she's amazing. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the best. I can't wait to see her play for the Lionesses.
Are you a bit in love?
Yeah, probably am.
And I thought I'd just highlight Fran Kirby because we got into women's football in 2019. That's
World Cup.
Yeah, World Cup. And then we started the WSL. And then Fran Kirby was off for that time because she was ill.
Did she play in the World Cup? But I just remember she used to come on, but she just...
Well...
She wasn't that great. But now we know why.
Yeah, you know that she was ill, yeah.
Hmm.
So she was diagnosed with pericarditis, I don't know how to say it. It's basically an inflammatory heart condition. So we didn't really get to see her play. So I heard like a lot of people talk about her, but we didn't really see that. And we were watching Chelsea and we were like watching England and Kerr, and like Fran Kirby just wasn't playing, she was ill. So it's been really nice like seeing her play this season and like getting to see what she can do, because I'd heard a lot about her but I hadn't seen it. And yeah, I just think those four goals, to score four goals in a game is like pretty amazing, isn't it? And I think that's just great.
She's great.
I also found interesting that Chelsea won 5-0 against Reading. Fran Kirby was actually born in Reading, and Reading was the first team that she played for. Did you know that?
I remember seeing a picture of actually in the Reading outfit.
Yeah,
she had short hair, didn't she?
Yeah, she's had like a lot of interesting hairstyles. Like when I started looking into it, yeah, I feel like you could do a whole like collage of Fran Kirby hairstyles. I think the one she's got now is like the best.
Beth England's changed her hairstyle.
I have not seen this.
Yeah, like she used to have like hair straight back.
Yeah.
And now she's kind of gone for like quite a similar look to Kerr.
Oh, really?
It suits her. She looks good.
Parting in the
middle. Yeah, down the middle. Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. yes. So that's a bit of WSL update.
Another thing that happened in the news, which I'm sure most people saw because it was everywhere, was Karen Carney. She suspended her Twitter account.
Sorry to interrupt your important news story, but I just wanted to ask this. Every time you see Karen Carney on the TV or like hear her, does someone else say to you, like, my mum or my girlfriend would be like, oh, there's that lady that you interviewed. Like all the time.
Actually, when I saw her on the TV, I did go, I spoke to that lady on that couch. Didn't I?
Yeah, like, oi. That's who I spoke to. No, I get called from the other room, like, oh, there's a lady you spoke to. I'm like, what lady?
That was my highlight.
I know that was great.
Karen Carney basically said that Leeds got promoted to the Premier League because of COVID, and Leeds saw this and were not happy about it, so they put it up on Twitter using the clip that she said, and off it went with the abuse it came to Carney. You know why? Because she's a woman. What she said was valid, you know. And all the comments she got were, not all of them, but quite a lot of them, to make her want to suspend her Twitter account.
Yeah.
With things like, silly bitch, stupid slag, get back in the kitchen, put your mic down and get yourself home. There's dishes to wash and clothes to iron.
Oh.
Now, as you know, Emmy, it's monthly this happens. Like, Alex Scott always is trending on Twitter. Yeah. Because something she says and people aren't happy. And it's not what she said, it's just because she's a woman.
Exactly.
And she said it, so she gets a lot of abuse. And I was talking to someone about this because they were like, oh, but, you know, it's just part of the job. Like, she's going to say something against a team that might not be happy. Well, of course she's going to get a bit of abuse for it. But the difference is, okay, another pundit might say that, another male pundit might say that, but they won't get a sexist abuse. They won't get, oh, get back in the garage.
Yeah.
I don't know. Get back fixing your car. I don't know. Because men are accepted in the world of football.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. The attacks that she has is literally simply because of her sex and the fact that she's female.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
It's not people attacking her, oh, no, you're wrong about this because X, Y, Z. It's like, you're women. I'm not even going to argue against this. What you said, I'm just going to point out that you're a woman and say that you shouldn't be here because of that reason.
Exactly. And what was quite shocking was that the Leeds Twitter account, they didn't take it down because they thought if they took it down, it would cause more problems. But I don't think they really saw the problem. They were like, well, we would have done it for any pundit. But the problem is, the fact that you didn't realise the consequence of those actions that you took, what it could have led to. Like, if, like, Leeds is part of the football community, they should be working to advocate women in football. Then putting a tweet like that doesn't help women in football. It just, you know, fuels the fire of people going, yeah, look, see, you know, we don't want women in this. You know?
Yeah.
And as Beth England said, she tweeted, you know, this is atrocious behaviour by your social platform. This is to Leeds. It's cyberbullying, a female pundit, and opening her up to mass online abuse for doing her job and having her opinion. And that's it. It's just opening up for mass abuse.
That's it. Because Karen Carney is not considered an equal, whatever they would have said about it, and like any like negative something that it would have said, would have had this repercussion. They should have known that because she's not considered an equal. And I think as well, like, I didn't really know, I did see that, but I didn't really follow men's football, so I didn't really get the ins and outs of it. But from what I saw, it was kind of taken out of context. And she did have some, like, reasons why she said what she said.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you're just playing a clip of a video, that's not going to go into that. So you're just setting someone up for a fall. And I think that's what the lead social media people channel did. They're, like, setting her up for a fall.
Yeah, so I don't know if they've apologised to her, but, yeah, they were in the wrong.
Yeah, I think it's so good that they have, like, this representation, Alex Scott, Karen Carney, you know, the pundit, like the big name pundits. But yeah, like we're just seeing, like, all the time that they're getting so much abuse online. And it's just, like, so sickening because, like, all these men saying stuff like, oh, get back in the kitchen or you slag, blah, blah, blah. Like, they must have mothers or, like, daughters or have women in their life. So why would you, like, talk to someone like that? Like, I'm sick of all this, like, people behind all these, like, keyboard warriors, like, saying all this awful stuff just because they're behind, like, a keyboard and no one can see them.
Behind the keyboard of a message board. What's that from?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Is this a rap?
You know that same love song?
What?
come on, you know Same Love the song? By Macklemore, is it?
Oh.
Behind the keys of a Mrs. Board.
Oh, is it? She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm.
Yeah, that's the... yeah. And then I just remember
that's a throwback, isn't it?
Is that a song?
That was like 2013, 12, something like that. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I remember that song came out, man. It touched my heart.
I did it. I just remember that song from like being at the gym, I think.
Oh, really?
Remember when we go to the gym?
What's that again?
Yeah.
But no, yeah. Still lots to go, far to go. But the football community really needs to work together and need to educate themselves.
Just don't be rude. When you think that you've left all the rubbish stuff behind in 2020, more stuff comes in 2021. And I'm talking about all those Trump supporters, aka lots of white supremacists storming the Capitol building. Did you see that on the news?
I can't believe that even happened.
So
I didn't get it.
Yeah, it looked like something out of some sort of dystopian film or something. Mm. Yeah, I really can't believe it. And the way, did you see the clip where they just like let them through the barrier? Minimal police force, like stopping anyone. Yeah, they just like opened the gates to let them through. And like, yeah, like, and I think what made it so shocking is when they compared some of the protests that happened around Black Lives Matter, and they compared what was happening there, and like the amount of police
was happening
at Black Lives Matter compared to like the non-existence of it on this march.
It's just
shocking. And the reason why I'm talking about this is now because it's to do with football in a way, because Megan Rapinoe, got to love Megan Rapinoe, spoke out about this at a press conference. And we spoke about Rapinoe quite a bit, and we spoke a bit about her last episode, how she like really uses her platform. So that's why I really like Megan Rapinoe, because she...
What'd she say?
So, yeah, she did this press conference, and she said that there needs to be justice served so we can move forward, and that these, you know, so actions need to happen to these people who have done this, so that they know they can't get away with it and it doesn't happen. And she said, like, this is what we saw, like real America, you know, those people storming the Capitol. This is like what real America is like. It feels so divided at the moment. And one thing that she really spoke out against was, there was a picture of some Trump supporters, and one of them was this lady who was wearing a USA women's national team football soccer
top. Okay, yeah,
and she said the US crest is not to be confused with anything that has to do with white supremacy, anything that has to do with Trump administration, anything that has to do with that divisive culture that we saw on the Capitol. Don't take any comfort in thinking that the crest is synonymous with that of the red, white and blue of the stars that we have above it. We want to create and continue to create a place that's inclusive, safe and diverse for our fans and for our players to play in front of and for people to watch on TV and for the media to cover. Don't bring that bull beep here. Yeah, I just want to talk about that, and I just think Rapinoe's amazing.
A lot of sports people are using their platform in such good ways. Like, think about Megan Rapinoe, she's got such a voice and she's doing such so good with this. And you think about Marcus Rashford and all the school meals.
True, yeah.
Things might be turning. Maybe they're realising the responsibility they do have is a little bit more than just playing football and bringing entertainment. They've got a voice for the public.
I guess it's probably like a testament of what your character is and if that's something you want to get involved in. But I guess for like Rapinoe and Rashford, they have got a lot of people have this platform. Use it for good.
Before we move off Megan Rapinoe, I just want to say, like, she also steps in everywhere. She pops up everywhere. So when I just mentioned about Karen Carney and the abuse she got, Megan Rapinoe said, I think on Twitter, shame, shame, shame. Thicken up that skin, y'all. Also, don't come for Karen Carney. She's a national treasure.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in love. Not just
she's
love.
In love.
That's really nice. I didn't know. I missed that, but that's really nice. Oh, good. Good one. That's what I mean. Yeah. Everyone should just get along, and women supporting women. That's what we want.
And men
people.
Supporting women as well.
Yeah, men. Yeah, that's true. And men. very good.
One thing that I do want to mention is that Jen Beattie, who plays for Arsenal as a defender, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, I believe it was in October of 2020. And she came out publicly about it because she just wanted to bring awareness. And you can watch the clip about what she went through on the BBC. But yeah, I just thought it was good to mention it on our podcast because, you know, we've got a little voice and, you know, a lot of our listeners are women.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do have some men listeners. And I think, guys, just remember to check your breasts and men as well. Check your man boobs or what do you call them? Pecs.
So men can get breast cancer as well.
Guys, you can as well. Yeah. So okay. I think that's why Jen Beattie did it. She just wanted people just to be aware. She's only 29. So she's really close to our age, Emmy.
Yeah.
And I think she was saying, you never think that sort of stuff happens to you. I'm really healthy. Yeah. I don't drink, you know, I eat healthy.
Yeah. And she was just like, pretty healthy.
She just felt a lump. And then she said, I'm going to get this checked out. Thank God she did because she caught it early. But that's what she was saying. Because of COVID, a lot of people aren't getting checked. So people, check your boobs. Just make it part of your routine. Okay.
Good. Yeah. Like brushing your teeth. Then.
Yeah. In the shower before night. If you've got a partner, turn this for your boobs.
I missed that about Jen Beattie. I didn't see any of that. So thank you for bringing that to my attention and to our listeners' attention. And you're right, we have a little platform as well, so we should share some messages. And I have Googled it, and yes, men can get breast cancer, although they're very aware it is possible. So good advice, men and women, check your mams, Marie Gland. Yeah, so next month is LGBT plus History Month. And I know we've got plans to talk about this more in February's episode. Obviously, save a lot of the conversation for that. So listeners, make sure you tune in next month. But I just wanted to like look at some milestones that have happened in football with our history, like our LGBT plus history.
So what you got for us?
Yeah. So men's football. Do you know how... And I will talk about men's football as well, because I think... And this is something we can go into more detail next episode. But there's differences between being out in men's football and being out in women's football and the difference between their history. So men's football, how many openly gay male footballers are there in the top four divisions of men's football?
I can definitely tell you how many are in the Premier League, because when I was at Brighton Pride, they had an amazing like bus and it had Premier League on it and it was absolutely empty.
Oh,
it was
no.
So profound. It was it was so clever. They had music blaring out of it, but literally no one on it.
Was it
very clever, isn't it?
Oh, so it's done as like a, you know, as
yeah, say no one's out.
Okay, well that's the same answer for the first four divisions. There is no
first
one
four.
Out. Yeah, for first four. There is when I was researching, I did find one out footballer, but he was like ninth division.
Oh my god.
It's sad and shocking. And there hasn't been, like, throughout men's football history, there hasn't been. There's been a few players who have come out after they've retired, and only like a handful, like a very small amount of number. There was one footballer who came out when he was playing football, and that's Justin Fasanu. And
when he was playing,
and this was in 1990, and
wow,
he's the first footballer to be, yeah, but and that's impressive, but it's actually a really sad story. And oh, no, I didn't, yeah, so obviously I didn't really know much about men's football anyway. And I think I did kind of pick up on this story last year. So he played for a variety of clubs between 1978 and 1997. He came out in 1990 for the tabloids. But obviously a very hostile atmosphere from like teams, players.
Was he in the top division? Do you know? Okay.
He was in the Premier League. He was a really good footballer. He was actually also the first black footballer to get £1 million, like pay.
All right.
Britain's first £1 million black player. So I think he got a lot of
abuse. Oh my God, so he was gay and he was black.
Yeah, so he got a lot of abuse. Yeah, you can imagine, can't you?
Bloody, yeah.
And it's a really sad story. And ultimately, he ended up committing suicide over some allegations that he got when he was in America about or some conduct with like, another guy who came back to England, and you can read all about that. But that's all there is, like this one guy, and like
didn't even have a happy ending.
No, didn't. No, exactly opposite. And there was nothing else. And I think, yeah, we'll talk about this more next episode, but how like the difference between men's football and women's football, where we know like a lot of female footballers are out. Like we spoke about Megan Rapinoe for a good part of this episode. She's out and like proud and, you know, there's a lot of female players like that. But I thought like Justin was like on this, when I was thinking about our history, like a queer football history, like, this was a milestone, like what he did.
Yeah.
And it's so sad that he didn't have like a good outcome. I read that he had an autobiography out, and there's like a lot of goes into a bit more detail. So they were quite an interesting read. But I didn't know about that. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Well, no wonder no one else has come out since.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't have a good reception. Well, I'm not surprised in 1997.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah,
but good on him. He was so brave to do that.
Yeah. That is really brave. Yeah. Looking at the key like milestones in women's football, the milestones I've got for women's football are a bit more positive. Yeah, so let's start way back. Have you heard of a footballer called Lily Parr?
Yes, I have, because I'm reading the Dick Kerr Ladies book.
Oh, are you reading that book?
I got it for Christmas.
Oh, nice. Well, did you know that she is...
No spoilers!
It's not spoilers, it's history. It's not spoiling something, it's history. She lived with her partner, Mary.
Oh, wow.
I know.
And what's your source?
Wikipedia. Lily Parr, for our listeners who don't know, she was a member of probably one of the most famous women's football teams, the Dick Kerr Ladies. They were about in the like the 1917s, 20s, that kind of time.
Yeah.
They did a lot of tours in America. They were doing like games all up and down the country. They were getting like huge crowds, like 50,000 people attending their games. And that was just before the FA banned women's football. So that's kind of like their place in history.
Dude.
And imagine what, you know, where we'd be now if they hadn't banned football and women weren't falling like so far behind because of this 50-year ban.
Maybe there would have been a lot more men out playing football.
Yeah. Well,
or
yeah.
Or maybe there would have been a lot of women in the closet.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah. So I think that's quite, so I felt like this should go on the milestone list of like LGBT
definitely.
History. And the next thing I want to mention is the famous kiss at the Women's World Cup in 2019. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Made the news.
Yep. So that was Magda Eriksson and Pernille Harder. They're both playing
for Chelsea. Who are now playing together.
Yeah, playing for Chelsea. Yeah. So this is quite an iconic photo, and I'll share it on the social media channels, but I'm pretty sure you've all seen it. So Eriksson, after helping Sweden defeat Canada in the Women's World Cup, she went and found Harder in the crowd, gave her a kiss. Harder is from Denmark's opposition teams in the World Cup. They had this kiss. It was just like the most natural thing. She just won a game. I don't think they really thought anything about it, but someone took a photo and then it just kind of went viral on social media. And yeah, it was really great. And
a lot of positive reactions, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Lots of positive reactions and lots of people getting in touch with them saying that, you know, it really helped them to come to terms with their own identity and it felt like good and it was like good representation. And I think that's, they did an interview after it happened, like a month or so after, and they were saying like it kind of made them realize that they were role models. Kind of touched back onto what you were saying, Amelia, about how because there's been such a increase in women footballers getting recognition that they are these role models now and aren't quite realizing that they are. Yeah,
a simple kiss would, you know, mean so much to a lot of people watching.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just felt like that was like a really key iconic moment in women's LGBT history. Women's football LGBT history.
No, thank you.
That's okay. So, guys, that's it for us this week. We're really pleased that you've listened this far. And if you have, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Amelia, what's our social media handles?
@F_in_football.
That's the one. Yeah. So give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to be sharing a few posts about some things we've discussed. So I'll share that famous kiss that I've mentioned, the World Cup again, in case you haven't seen that. I'll share some links to Megan Rapinoe's press conference if you want to look at that. And also a link to the FA strategies. I think that's a good read.
And please, guys, don't forget to check your boobs.
Yep. When you said I kind of forgot that we had that conversation about the breast cancer and that's why you should check them. And I was like, for a split second, I was like, what? What's she saying this
what
for?
What is it you're talking about?
Yeah.
No, check your boobs.
Yeah.
Brush man or woman.
Yep. Everyone's got to check them.
Yeah, brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. Check your boobs. And floss. And have a wash.
Actually, that is my New Year's. Sorry, too much info, everyone. But I find it really hard to floss.
Do you?
I just can't get it to my routine, but I've got it in. It's been 19 days now.
That's really good. That's the thing, though. You just need to do it for a certain amount of days and it's your routine. Like I used a couple of years ago, I didn't floss every day. I didn't floss every couple of days. But now it's just about my routine. Just get on with it.
Anyway, guys, so don't forget to floss. Yeah. Don't forget to brush your teeth. Don't forget to wash and check your boobs.
We really need lockdown to be over.
And please don't give us a one star because of this.
Please. We can talk about other things. Yeah, moving swiftly on.
Yeah. Have a great time in lockdown. Eat, sleep and watch TV. And do some exercise.
And do some exercise. And floss. No, stop. We're going to go around in circles. Thanks for listening, guys.
We're going to F off now. Bye.
Just don't be rude.
What's that?
Just don't be
rude. I thought you said give me food.
And that. Don't be rude, give me food. That's all I want. Simple gal, me.